Welcome to the seminar, Be the Highest Paid, Strategies for Earning the Most Money as an Employee in Your Chosen Field. This is a copyrighted recording. All contents are the property of Gaffney Productions. All rights are reserved. Reproduction, redistribution, republication, rebroadcast, or other use is not allowed without the express written permission of Gaffney Productions and BeTheHighestPaid.com. No electronic reprints are to be generated without first written permission of Gaffney Productions. Be the Highest Paid, Strategies to Earning the Most Money as an Employee in Your Chosen Field. Our strategies today come in three parts. Part one, we're calling assumptions. Before we begin to reveal the actual nuts and bolts of how to earn the most money possible as an employee, we're going to make some basic assumptions. Because you have already taken the steps to hear this presentation, I am assuming you are goal-oriented and interested in personal growth and achieving more. To make more and achieve more, you have to want more. So purchasing this presentation makes me at least assume that much. I'm also going to list some other very basic assumptions about your work ethic, because without these, you simply will not achieve any higher level of achievement than basic salary. So if you meet these very, what we call basic assumptions, congratulations. You're going to be ready to move on in part two and part three. If not, you do have some changes to make. So here are the basic good employee traits. Number one, believe it or not, show up and show up on time all the time. No excuses on this, okay? Recent surveys show employers list this as one of the biggest problems in the American workplace. People not showing up. Movie producer Woody Allen once said, "I've learned one thing. Showing up is 80% of life. Sometimes it's easier to hide home in bed. I've done both." So tip number one, assumption number one, you gotta show up to work if you want to keep your job and earn the most money possible. Assumption number two, I'm going to assume that you have a positive and upbeat attitude at work. This is also essential, an essential ingredient to the whole success recipe. Showing up fresh and energetic makes you more valuable to a boss who doesn't want or need negative employees. So that is assumption number two. Assumption number three, these are basic work ethic assumptions. We're going to assume you're honest. You need to be. If you fail here, no amount of skill at your job will make up for a lack of integrity. The customers who bring in the money to your business at your workplace demand honesty. Number four, you take pride at how well you perform your job. The finer details of your work are important. Dotting the I's, crossing the T's, if you will, make you an employee that can be trusted. Very important. Number five, assumption number five is that you actually work hard. You're not so concerned with the 9-to-5 schedule as you are with getting results and getting the job done. Assumption number six, we're going to assume you dress presentable. Believe it or not, this is important. Taking pride in an appropriate professional appearance, that's very important. Here's a tip. Dress like your boss, or maybe outdress the boss. It may seem superficial to some of you, but the truth is people do judge on appearance. Marilyn Monroe once said, "I don't mind making a joke, but I don't want to look like one." So you've got to look professional. Number seven, we're going to assume you are self-motivated. The more you're able to accomplish your tasks and take responsibilities at work for other areas of your business, the more valuable you will be. And we're going to learn later, being valuable is the key to higher earnings. Number 8, you help others. No employee is an island. You are not an island unto yourself. Valuable employees help coworkers. They help management. They never or rarely utter the phrase, "It's not my job." That is a taboo phrase if you want to be a successful employee. Number 9, you're a good communicator. You need to be. If you cannot express yourself at work in a clear and understandable way, verbally and in written communication, well, that's going to be a problem. Inaccurate or inappropriate communication between coworkers and with your company's customers can cause problems. And number 10, because you're still listening to this, I'm going to assume you possess the ability to be an interested and effective learner. Very important. So those are 10 assumptions. We're going to end this basic list at number 10. These are just 10 of the very basic traits to make you a good basic employee. Now, possessing these traits is all boiled down to really one phrase, and that is work ethic. Work ethic, okay? That's what we're talking about. You show up, you do your job with pride, and you do it effectively. Work ethic. If you don't do well with any of the things on the list, and we'll look over them real quick here, you have some improvements to make. So let's recap. Number 1, show up and show up on time. Number 2, have a positive and upbeat attitude. Number 3, honesty. Number 4, you take pride at how well you perform your job. The details are important. Number 5, we assume you actually work hard, getting the job done, not watching the clock. Number 6, you dress presentable. Number 7, you're self-motivated. Number 8, you help others. Number 9, you're a good communicator. And number 10, you are an interested and effective learner. These are basic work ethic tips. Part 2. Supercharged strategies to make yourself a very, very important employee. An employee that your employer will want to pay more money to keep. Strategy number 1. Think like the business owner or manager. Think like your owner. Most all businesses, whether it's an auto dealership, a retail store, medical facility, a TV or radio station, a service business, whatever. They're all trying to do 2 things: control costs and raise revenues. Make money. Your job as an employee is to share the mindset of raising revenues at your business to show higher profits. And this goes to every employee, no matter what your stature or position in the company. From the cart person at a grocery store to the checkout person to the manager to the stock boy, everybody at every job, you all need to think like the boss. Everything you do, every interaction you have with customers should carry this mindset. Think like the owner. Help the owner and business achieve more. Employers want to know that you understand and that you contribute to the overall profit-making goals of the company. Very, very important. Strategy number 2, be a tool for sales. And by sales, I mean the people in your organization who are in direct contact with your business's customers. We'll call them sales people. They're in contact with your business's customers for the purposes of making a sale. In retail, for example, the clerk on the floor assisting the customer. That's what we're talking about, the salesperson. In manufacturing, it would be the folks who work directly with the customers to buy the products made. This includes telephone salespeople and those who are outside sales reps, those people that travel around pitching your business's services to potential customers. These are the people you need to be helpful toward. Let's be honest. These are the people who are most directly responsible for making money for your company. And if you help them, those moneymakers will help you. How you can help depends on your operation, of course, but you can offer to help by meeting clients, assisting with putting together sales information. You can show an active interest if you suggest potential clients. You can give business ideas from industry trade publications that you might read, which you should be reading, by the way. No matter what your position in a company, thinking and acting as a consultant and a helper to these money generators, the sales force will make you a much more valuable employee. Tip number three, meet and support your customers. And by your customers, I mean the people or the entities that spend money with your employer. The shopper, the customer, the buyer, the client. Nothing speaks to the management or ownership of a company more than a top client, a top customer, commenting on how nice or how great you are, how you went out of your way to help someone. If customers are fellow business people, patronize their business. Show support to them in every way that you can. Establish a relationship with them if you can. And then ask them to mention you in a positive way to your boss. Let me give you an example. I've made my living in the radio business. Our customers are the advertisers, those people who purchase commercial airtime. So since these are actually the people who just helped me pay my rent and they just bought the jeans I'm wearing, I support these advertisers by using their services. If we have a dentist that advertises and buys commercials on a radio station, well, that's the dentist I'm going to use when I need to get my teeth cleaned. When going out to dinner, I choose the restaurants that advertise on my radio station. After establishing a relationship with them, I'll ask them, point blank, hey, put in a good word for me, will you, to my boss? You need to do the same thing, or at least some version of this, with your company's customers. Having the bigger customers of the business where you work on your side is powerful. In my case, these advertisers are the most powerful secret allies in the battle to dominate in the workplace and be the highest paid. Tip number four, self-promote. This is uncomfortable for a lot of people, but you have to promote yourself. No one will do it for you, unfortunately. You have to think of yourself as your own personal brand. If being civically involved in your community is a favorable thing at your workplace and you're a member of a local group like the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or something, make sure your boss gets press releases or memos explaining your latest activity. If you do something at work that might be worthy of the community knowing about it, write it up and give it to the local newspaper. Look, page through your local weekly or community paper, and you'll see multiple stories about people in business doing things, getting their name in the paper, handing out big charity checks, announcing that an employee just got a promotion. You'll see things like Jane Doe of XYZ Company recently completed a customer service training course, etc., etc. All of these stories are kind of regular things in many workplaces. These are stories that made it to print because the person featured in the story told the newspaper reporter or the editor about it. It's really that simple. So why do you need to look for these opportunities to promote yourself? Well, when you do, it promotes your workplace and your employer appearing in print, there's something magic about it. It makes it seem like you're a big deal. Even in this era of electronic media, a published article that appears in print and then given to your company's ownership, this strengthens the bond that you have at work and elevates your importance instantly. You become a standout. Get to know your community newspaper editor. Get to know the reporters. They need things to fill space within a paper. By giving them photos or stories that you write, you're making their job easier and you get the benefit. Tip number 5, improve your business knowledge and invest in yourself. You really need to be an information hound and devour everything written about your line of work. You have to read the trade publications, the trade website, the technical manuals for the equipment you use, everything. Business publications that discuss your field, you have to read all those too. The more you know, the more important you are to your boss and your company. You become a resource for busy company executives who may miss news pertaining to your business. You may have heard it said that buying a car is the second biggest investment you'll ever make, or buying a house is the biggest investment you'll ever make. You've heard that. That's a lie. Investing in you and your business, that's the biggest investment. It's your paycheck, after all, that buys that car and pays the mortgage. So invest in knowledge, self-improvement books and seminars, anything you can get your hands on. Being a natural lifelong learner is one of the strongest traits to possess if you want to be the highest paid. We have one more tip before we move into some specific strategies to actually getting a raise at your workplace, and it is tip number 6. Keep track of your successes and accomplishments. You're going to need this information when it's time to get a raise and when it's time to honestly self-promote in the workplace. Make a personal logbook or journal listing positive accomplishments that you are involved in at work. It's important to write these things down because in the real world, when we're working hard day in and day out, we could easily forget some key events that would make you worthy of a raise or a promotion. For example, something you might write would be Monday, August 15th, customer Tom Jones was assisted in loading his order by me, and as a result, he purchased more of our products since he had more time. You know, write that kind of thing down. That's just a generic example, so you understand what I mean. You need to write down your successes all the time. Part 3, specific strategies to make more money and get a raise. We're going to start with the most basic, simple way to get a raise. It's often overlooked as a way to get paid more, and that is this: ask for one. If you want a raise, ask for a raise. This is perfectly acceptable in business. But did you know most employees don't do it? They work and they wait and they wait and they wait for management to hand out token increases, oftentimes much less than one would have received if you would have just asked. A recent online salary survey indicated that 56% of employees have never asked for a raise. But what about those who did? Those workers who do ask are successful 66% of the time. Following the tips in this seminar will undoubtedly up those odds. And remember, when asking for more money, you should only ask based on your work performance and your work successes, not for personal reasons. Hey, my landlord raised my rent is not a reason for most employers to give you a raise. Do it for work-related reasons. Get evaluated based on your job performance. After all, if you're following the tips, you've kept a log of your accomplishments. You have evidence that customers adore you, right? You have a great work ethic. Your company, Salesforce, sees you as a strong asset. All the things we've talked about. You are known positively in the community, and you've generated good press and publicity for the company. You've gone beyond what you were hired to do. Share this information and ask. And always ask and regularly ask this question. What do I need to do to exceed your expectations and make a lot more money here? This is a great question to ask, especially if you've been turned down, or even if you do get a raise. It's always great to ask, what do I need to do to exceed your expectations and make a lot more money here? You might be surprised at your boss's answer. Whatever he says, try following his or her advice. Another strategy for earning more money that has worked well in my field of broadcasting, the concepts do transfer to any workplace. Make yourself known to the competition. You got to be careful here, but it's very important. You need to befriend your competition. People in the same line of work at other companies nearby or in your field. Now, getting to know them, I don't mean bombard them with "I want a job" type questions. Work with them. Work with them within the confines of what you're allowed to do in a competitive situation. But look, see them in the community, at events. Be known to them. Be approachable. Because if your competition ever has an opening, it'll be easier for them to maybe seek you out. Meet and talk with the decision makers at your competition. Always be professional. Look, I've done this on many occasions. I've been offered a job by a competitor. And when that happened, I always gave my existing employer then a chance to match the offer. And looking back several times in my career, this has happened, and I've actually gotten sizable raises. What is happening here is you are setting the market price for your talents and your skills as a worker. Next, don't overlook non-traditional raises. You may ask for overtime opportunities in the same way that you would ask for a raise. Ask for opportunities to get a promotion to earn more money. Does your company provide any benefits that maybe you're not taking advantage of? Would they give you product instead of cash if they say they can't give you a raise? Take the product and sell it yourself. Can you get more days off in lieu of cash? Will the company pay for your college? Are there any opportunities to earn a commission? Ask. One more thing that I thought didn't really fit. I do want to tell you, though, I'm somewhat convinced that you'll find more success using the strategies that we've talked about in this seminar while working for smaller independent businesses rather than some of the larger big corporations. Although the techniques here do work for all employers, smaller companies, independent mom and pop type businesses, you probably will have more success. I want to thank you for listening to Be the Highest Paid, strategies for earning the most money as an employee in your chosen field. For more information, please visit BeTheHighestPaid.com.